Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Welcome in, everybody. Another week of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast right here at WaitingForNextYear.com. Matt and Todd with you. It's a Monday, last Monday of August. Turning the page soon to September. Tribe loses two out of three of the Red Sox, but at least salvages one game in the series with a big win yesterday. A lot to talk about, Todd. The weekend was, you know, a great series with Boston, but unfortunately the Indians probably should have swept Boston or taken at least two out of three in the series. But DeMarlo Hale asleep at the wheel Saturday, Karinchak, your boy, gone. We got a lot to discuss today. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingT.com. What's going on, brother?
You know, I don't want to go to the sports talk radio caller move. You stole my thunder. But I was going to say, the Indians very well could have swept the Red Sox this weekend with normal relief pitching on Friday and normal managing on Saturday. You win both of those games. And instead, they lost them both. And should we discuss bunting just right off the top?
Oh, God. Do we have to? Yeah, we do.
You know, I don't – everyone knows how I feel about bunting and you feel about bunting. The hashtag that's caught America by storm, bunting is for losers.
Has it?
Has it? As far as I know, it has. I don't know. You know, the great Mark P on Twitter, because of my obsession over the years with calling out bunting, he mutes the word, you know, you can mute words on Twitter. He mutes the word bunting or bunt on Twitter. No joke.
Really?
Because he got so annoyed by
it. I didn't know that was a thing.
You can mute words or people. For example, I know someone.
I'm muting DeMarlo Hale on Twitter.
Nah. And the great Ty Van DA told. Yes, Vanbo, come on, how could you mute the most undeserving long-term coach in baseball currently? I don't understand the obsession with bunting. I don't. So this week actually, it goes back to the day. It was a win against Texas, I believe, on what day? It was Wednesday. Andrés Giménez came up, first and second, nobody out. And you and I are texting each other going, do not bunt, do not bunt. Absolutely no bunting, can't bunt. And what ended up happening? He goes up there, he tries to bunt twice. He fails both times.
Correct.
And then what happened after that? Tell everyone.
Didn't he get a hit?
Did we get a hit? He got a double.
You think I can go back and remember Wednesday? The only thing I remember about Wednesday is mom's birthday.
Was that mom's? Was it, okay, maybe it was, I don't know, whatever day it was the game where they tried to lay down. It couldn't have been that game. All right, maybe it was Thursday. They tried to lay down two bunts. Neither of them happened, Andrés Giménez.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came up and roped that ball down the line.
That was
It was on Thursday. What was Hale doing in general right there? Okay. So fine. He learned his lesson, allegedly. Then Friday night, 99 comes in with his torch and his gas can. He walked the first two batters, couldn't find the plate. And Alex Cora, who I can't fucking stand, by the way, total fraud, total cheater, don't like him. Not a fan.
Oh, come on.
Alex Cora has the ninth. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Alex Cora sends up the four ninth
letter,
place.
The four-letter guys just love him. They just love him. Such
they
a great guy.
They love to lather him up, as he would say. Oh, yeah. So Alex Cora, he has done a good job. I mean, listen, that team sucked last year really bad. Their pitching staff still isn't that good, and that yet they're, you know, right there on the cusp of the playoffs. Although I was not impressed with them this weekend, to be honest. Okay, anyways, I'll come back to that. So Friday night's game, 99 comes in, walks the first two guys, and then up comes, I don't even remember the guy's name. I'd never heard of him in my life. Araúz or something? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Jonathan, yeah, Araúz.
Yes, yes.
He's a rookie.
Comes up to the plate and tries to lay down a bunt twice. And after Karinchak, or excuse me, 99, couldn't find the plate. And I'm looking up and I'm going, do you believe this fucking idiot manager is going to, our guy cannot find the strike zone. And he's sending someone up there to give us a free out. I'm like, thank God. I even tweeted, Cora's doing us a huge favor here by bunting. This is wonderful. Well, couldn't lay down the bunt. And then guess what happened? He ends up hitting a three-run homer to give the Red Sox the lead, which they eventually ended up holding on and winning the game. So that's example number two for DeMarlo Hale to not bunt again. And then here we come a third time. Same situation. I can't even remember what happened now. I'm so aggravated by the
Saturday. The Saturday game had so many.
Oh, what am I talking about? I was there. Oh my God. What am I talking about?
The Saturday game had so many different twists and turns. I mean, that Sawamura kid.
That's what it was. Thank you for reminding me.
Could not find the plate. At one point, I think he'd thrown 18 pitches and six strikes.
But and the we're first trying two guys.
And then Ahmed Rosario swinging away on 2-0. Like what? Like that's the ultimate take sign. The guy can't find the plate. Do not swing. It happened yesterday with Zimmer. Couple of walks. Zimmer comes up, and on the 1-0 pitch, he swings and grounds out. Like this is basic baseball. If the other team's pitcher can't find the plate, give him the take sign. We're not talking about Nolan Arenado here, Bradley Zimmer. Andres Jimenez, Ahmed Rosario. We're not talking about Barry Bonds. My God.
You're 100% right. Now I remember what the third one was that the reliever for the Red Sox came in, threw eight straight balls, and Miles Straw, contact machine. This isn't a guy who's going to strike out. Most like also probably your fastest runner, if not your second fastest runner behind Ahmed. So you're probably not going to double him up. And you're having that guy go up there and bunt? Someone who you know is going to put the ball in play? What the hell was that? And, of course, Straw pops the bunt up. And then Ahmed, I don't even – whatever happened, we didn't score. And then they ended up losing. But long story short, bunting's for losers. It's stupid. Hale saw it twice in front of his own face in 1 week fail, and he still went for it on the third time. He let's put it this way. I'm sure he's a nice man. I don't know anything about him other than all of a sudden now he's our bench coach. But if Sandy Alomar Jr., who we all love as a human being, you and I both agree, did not look good as a manager last year.
No.
Looked borderline on the clueless side. And there's a reason why Sandy has never gotten a managerial job. I don't know, in my opinion. DeMarlo Hale is in the same boat, except he's even worse. I couldn't be less impressed with him. His handling of the bullpen's been bad. How many more times, and we'll come to this in the next topic, how many more times does he need to put 99 out there in a high leverage situation when everybody in the world knows he can't command either of his pitches? Well, and if he does, it's only one, and everyone knows a fastball is coming, and then they destroy him. Put him out there.
In Hale's defense, there's not much he can do with this bullpen outside of Class A. He doesn't know what he has. He knows he has Shaw, and Shaw can pitch every day, and the guy's got a rubber arm, and he gives it his all. But he obviously has not pitched as well in the second half, and the velocity is down. When Sandlin is out, they've tried, the young kid Perez came up. They've tried Blake Parker. They've tried everything. But 99, like you said, is the key. He's the guy that even if you look ahead to next year, they need to get straightened out to be the bridge for Sandlin and Class A at some point. And it's disappointing. It's obvious that the spider tack and the sunscreen that Karinchak was using on his left arm was a huge factor. And now he doesn't have it. He's not allowed to use it. And so it's big trouble. I mean, that I don't blame Hale for. I mean, he's playing the cards he's dealt. I think my biggest issue is Friday and Saturday, just like you said, the bunting. The Saturday game was a joke. I mean, the game should never have been an extra innings. Ahmed swinging 2-0 was ridiculous because that was ball three. That's when you give
ball was in the dirt. Yeah, yeah. That's Ahmed's fault.
Menez bunting, straw bunting. It was too much. You want to play bottom of the ninth. You got first and second. You want to move some runners with guys at the bottom of your row. That's fine. When we're trying to learn about what we have, and you're bunting in the seventh inning, and guys can't find the plate. To Hale's credit, the team fought yesterday, and that was a huge win yesterday. It was fun.
Yeah.
And then they are playing hard, and the at-bats were so much better yesterday than they were Friday and Saturday, but it just kind of illuminated over the weekend, you're right, that this guy's been a bench coach or a third base coach his whole career and has never been a manager. He interviewed, ironically enough, along with Sandy, back in like, was it 2012? It was years ago for the Blue Jay job. And John, that was when John Farrell got that job. So it is what it is. It was bad baseball, especially on Saturday, because that Boston didn't even want to win that game. They were like handing it to us and we wouldn't take it.
We didn't. I think three times this week I said to you, we don't deserve to win this game.
Even in the Texas series, I mean, they took two out of three, but that's a bad team. But there were times that we're like, what is this team doing?
Yeah. It was kind of a sloppy week for sure. It was just very frustrating. And listen, harping on the minutia of a bad interim manager in late August is whatever, it is what it is. But you know, you and I, we live and die with every pitch. And I watched this whole series and I could not believe that they won one game. They legitimately should have won all three, at a minimum, two out of three. It was just,
I'm interrupting you. Listen, last week you told me, take the floor and apologize for the Ahmed situation, which I did to an extent. And I do believe there's a spot for him on the team. And I do think he's a better hitter than I've given him credit for, et cetera. But today is your day. Todd,
really?
W. Derry, today is your day to do a victory lap. Your guy, as you call 99, I will call James Karinchak, is now in the minors. Have at it.
I believe after Friday night, my tweet was, get this motherfucker off my team.
Baby.
You know what? Here's the thing. Again, I don't want to go on personal attacks on the guy, but here's the fact remains, according to my moral and value system, he's a gigantic piece of shit. He wants to live his life that way, so be it. But again, he goes against everything I believe in, and that's his right as an American to be the way he wants to be. Okay. But the fact remains that let me read you some stuff from our friend of the pod, P1 listener, Zach Meisel's article on number 99 himself. In his first 21 appearances this season, Karinchak posted a 0.44 ERA as he limited the opposition to one run on three hits across 20 and two thirds innings. He issued 7 walks and 38 strikeouts. Opponents logged a 0.45, 1.49, 1.06 slash line against it. Okay. Which is pretty amazing. Since the sticky tack stuff came in. Okay. So this goes back. There's three different ones. Since the crackdown came up. Since May 23rd, 6.42 ERA in 33 and two thirds innings, 25 walks, 39 strikeouts. Since June 21st, 5.96 ERA in 22 and in two-thirds innings, 15 walks and 21 strikeouts. And then since July 16th, in the last 15 innings he's pitched, 8.40 ERA, 10 walks, 9 strikeouts. But what's crazy is not only the spin rate down, he can't command his fastball. And when he does, it's only averaging 95.9 and it's dead straight. Opponents, this is my favorite stat on his fastball that Zach had in his piece. The average against his fastball by month, 077 in April, 133 in May, 148 in June. Okay. June was the month where the crackdown started. 300 in July, 320 in August with a 600 slugging percentage against him. In the end, he can't cheat. Excuse me. He can't legally cheat anymore. So he's lost what he has and he can't make it work. Not to mention the fact that he's clearly battling himself mentally because when he hit Jose Abreu in the head, you remember he had the reaction. He's like, oh my God. And he felt really bad about it. And you could see like, he knows he can't control it anymore. And this is something that I think that Cleveland baseball fans need to remember. He kind of came out of nowhere. He was a ninth round pick. And then all of a sudden he got onto our radar because he was striking everybody out in the minors. And he wasn't really, you know, he had some command issues, but he was striking out like two out of every three batters. So he looked unbelievable. And he made this fast rise. And then all of a sudden, you know, he got to the majors. He put on that 99. He really rode that wild thing, persona. And last year he was dominant. And then when we got in this short 60 game span, and then we got to the playoffs, and you remember Sandy went to him in the fourth inning to face Gio with the bases loaded, and Gio hit that fastball that still hasn't landed.
Oh my God! Set.
Yeah.
Look, so, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that sending him down is the right move. I think the organization has worked with pitchers before. The organization has developed pitchers a lot worse than him, and with worse track records. But like you said, you bring up a great point. Not a highly touted guy, not a guy out of the SEC, which, you know, the Indians love.
You know where he went to college? Bryant.
Yeah. And so now it's time to see if without help, he can do it. That would be putting in the work, figuring out grips, figuring out. Now, again, Major League Baseball may change the ball again for next season. They've talked about it, going to the ball that they use at the Olympics, that the Japanese League uses. That can help pitchers grip it. I don't know if that will help him, but the current baseball that is used, he has issues gripping. He has issues spinning the ball, and that's a problem. It's brought it. So it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, I know they asked Carl Willis about it on the record the other day. What's he going to say? Yeah, we knew he was cheating. I mean, he was constantly, if you remember, he had that suntan lotion or whatever he had, sunscreen on the inside of his left forearm. And he would dabble in it and rosin doesn't work for some guys. So sending him down, seeing if he can get straightened out, get some confidence back at AAA. I'm all for it. I don't dislike him like you do. I'm rooting for him. Whatever his tact is on vaccinations or whatever. There's so many, you know, it's like sitting here and we could list all the guys, Kirk Cousins. And
of course.
But the bottom line is, you know, I many years ago, because of my experiences being in both clubhouses and locker rooms, I kind of got away from idolizing and realizing that some of these players are what they are, and they're entertainers, and some of them are actors, some of them are great people. But
yeah,
I want them to do well. But right now, he shouldn't be on the team, and they made the right move in getting and sending him down. I don't know
they
why
absolutely did.
Hey, I don't know why DeMarlo Hill put him in the game against Boston Friday night with a lead. That was a huge mistake.
Well, that goes back to my point about Hale. You know, this guy is a complete loose cannon. And I know that the other options aren't great. And, you know, maybe you're sending him out there, shot in the arm, see if it works. But you're trying to win this game. You got to put yourself with someone better than a guy who clearly cannot throw strikes.
Right. And that lineup at the top with Devers and JD and Bogarts.
Yo, so good.
Xander Bogarts is one of my favorite players. I don't like the Red Sox. I never have, but I would take that guy on our team any day. I mean, he's a monster.
Absolutely. You know, what's interesting when 99 came out of that game and they went to Blake Parker, he got the next three outs in six pitches.
Yeah.
Blake, and I'm not saying Blake Parker's a great guy.
He is who he is, but he's been decent. He's been decent.
He's fine. Like, Yeah.
He's been better.
The other crazy thing about that game is, and we'll get to him later, is that Logan Allen was great. And then Alex Young came in and pitched a 1-2-3-7.
I know.
And I'm like, you know, if we get seven scoreless from these two guys, we better not fuck this up. And we ended up fucking it up. So yeah. I don't know. And again, the other options in that point were, you know, go to Shaw for the 800th time, Trevor Stephan, who you weren't going to use in that spot, Garza, who you wouldn't use in that spot. And then what's his name? Who am I forgetting? And then walk off Whitgren. I mean, and who knows what's going on with him either.
Oh, so, good old Nicky. This is it for him. I mean, love him.
He's a prime DFA. Great guy. Prime DFA.
Really, it is the wow factor now. WOW, walk off Whitgren, because when he comes in, our boys are walking off to the dugout. And the other team's celebrating.
I actually feel bad for him after what happened with his wife. And he's a really good dude. And you know what? This is his third season. He came out of nowhere. It was very solid for the first 2 years. Was his third season or fourth? Maybe it's fourth.
It might be, but he's just not getting enough people out. I mean, that fastball is not, the velocity is not there.
But it's never been good.
But his other stuff, he has no confidence in right now. And it sucks because there's been some outings where he's like really good. And then Hale's like, let's give him another inning just to try.
He's been going to him. Yeah, he has. Hale has used him for multiple innings. You know, this is his third season. 2019 was his first year with the Indians.
We got him from the Marlins for nothing.
Yeah, this is great. And that's the kind of deals that the Indians always seem to make, that Antonetti and Chernoff just grabbing a guy like that and getting 3 years on him. It's like when they got Dan Otero and they had 4 years of him, you know, I mean, or five years of Otero. You know, they always seem to unearth somebody. And that has a lot to do with the development of the major league staff as well. But here's what's interesting to me. All of a sudden, you go back to April and May, the best part of the team was the bullpen. You kind of 99 was clicking. Class A was awesome. When Sandlin first came up, he was great. Shaw was pitching lights out. Phil Maton was the fifth guy in line. You looked up and you said, you know what? We got a lot of guys here. We talked about it in this pod. Now all of a sudden you look up and I just think about who I just named here. I mean, we're looking at Justin Garza and Whitgren and Alex Young and Blake Parker and Trevor Stephan,
Trevor Stephan would go weeks without pitching. Now he pitches every day.
Well,
he's out there a lot.
He kind of has to pitch this much now because, you know, you don't know. Hench still isn't pitching more than five, if he even gets to five. And he kind of is the piggyback guy. And now, but the thing is with him, he throws so hard, rule five guy. So you know that you shouldn't be pitching him in any high leverage situations. And this is a developmental year for him. And I do think he's got that live arm. And I think he's got a future on this team. I like him. I don't think I wouldn't put him out there in the eighth today, but I like him. He's fine. He doesn't bother me because he knows his role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just, know your role and shut your mouth.
That's right. Did you see that video, by the way, of The Rock when he was driving through his neighborhood the other day and the people were in the back of the truck just doing like a tour of famous people's houses? And he rolled down his window and he went, "You guys know where The Rock lives?" And everybody went nuts. Like, what a great guy.
I did not see it, but I will take your word for it. Yeah. That's good stuff. Oh my God. Go ahead. Sorry. What I was going to say was, I just am in Nick Whitgren's game log. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 of the last 15 times he's pitched, the Indians have lost. That is nuts. I just look up at his game log and it's LLLLL. I'm like, wait, this is really weird. Is that an insane stat? 13 of the last 15 games he's pitched and he's lost.
I feel bad. I feel bad for him. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of his, but
yeah, good
it's
dude.
Not, it's not working. He's not getting enough people out and it's a struggle bus every time he's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, JD Martinez, I mean, that was just meat right in the middle of the plate the other night. But again, it shouldn't even have gotten to that point.
Wait, exactly. And they even got a chance to come back and almost, you know, win the game. That didn't even work.
Matt and Todd with you, Dairy Brothers Tribecast on a Monday day off. Indians go to Kansas City. Do you know they play the Royals twice in Kauffman Stadium in the next month?
Home of the Technique? Yeah. First, I said Home of the Technique. Yes, I do.
That's right.
First and second, the 31st, first and second, and then 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's bizarre, huh?
It is bizarre.
It's a lot of Kansas City. And they come to Cleveland for the week of the 20th when I'm on jury duty.
Oh, you got the call?
Yes, I did.
That's exciting. Are you going to actually do it?
I mean, I got to show up. I mean, am I going to be like dad when he used to go and he'd be like, wanted to be the jury foreman and get on like a long trial? No, I'm not.
About to say that dude loved that, man. Dad loved it. When he got that letter in the mail, he's like, oh nice jury duty. And mom was always like, why do you want to do that? And he's like,
he wanted to be picked.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, three with the Royals, three. Then they got to go to Fenway and play the Red Sox again. The team's at 500. They're playing hard. Yesterday's win was fun. I mean, Hedges, I love Austin Hedges, man.
That'd me be, too, man. Absolutely.
The executive producer, Jeremy, is such a hater on Hedges.
I think he's come around. I think Jeremy's come around on Hedges. I do.
I mean, his batting average could be higher, but my gosh, I mean, the homer yesterday. And let's give this guy the nod. He had a good week. Not a fan, but Yu Chang had some big hits this week. Like, he actually had some decent at bats. His bat's been better than Owen Miller's, which isn't
head scratcher. I was just going to say, the great Andrew Zellman tweeted this to me earlier in the week because I was, you know, when it said something about Chang, he's like, you want to know something? Chang's been way better than Owen Miller has been. And it's true. Yu's had some really big hits. And listen, you said it to me this week. You think he's going to be back next year on this team.
What do I know? I think that Zimmer and Yu are playing their way into an opportunity to be back. I think Daniel Johnson and Oscar Mercado are going to be cut loose. That's just if I had to guess today on August 30th. That's just my guess.
Zimmer's a lock. I think Zimmer not only has played his way, I think he's a lock for the roster next year.
I'm reading Pluto's piece, you know, Zimmer could be in right field next year. If we trot out the exact same team, we're not going to win any more. I mean, yeah, we'll win more games based off the starting the
pitching
rotation.
Will be healthy. Yeah, right.
But we better be going out and getting some kind of bat. You can't be like, well, we're going to.
They will.
Jimenez and Miller are going to platoon at second. And they're going to, you know, not, what? Wait, what? You know, move Rosario to left and Arias will be at short. Like, hold on a second. I'm all for Gabe Arias playing short next year. But there's got to be a veteran bat added somewhere. Whether it's second base, right field, a professional bat. Like, dream and say, Nick Castellanos, who's going to opt out, could we please, like, throw every chunk of change we have at him and put him in right field every day? That would be awesome. And that would be what I would want. But I know we're not doing that.
That's
what we need.
He's exactly what we need. But Zimmer's a lock to be on this roster next year. I mean, I don't want him playing every single day and hitting fifth. No. But meanwhile, the power that we heard about, you know, when he was a prospect has really started to show up all of a sudden. I mean, he hit that one. I know they said it was like, I think they said it was like 471 feet into the mezzanine section. Old Bronxville. Took that high fastball and just destroyed that thing. You don't see balls going out to right that way very often. I can't even remember the last time an Indians player put one in the mezzanine. It's been so long. I mean, that was a serious bomb. But
he hit that. Yeah. He hit that ball to Orange Place.
In the meantime, I still think that he is best suited as a bench outfielder. Backup center fielder, backup right fielder, speed and defense. There's value there. I don't want him as my everyday right fielder next year. I don't.
Well, I mean,
to your point, if they go Ahmed in left, you better get yourself a real right fielder. That's
and there's gonna be, have there's Zimmer. Gonna be some, we talked about it last week. There's gonna be some tough decisions, Todd, about where guys are gonna play, who's gonna be on the team. You know, what are they doing with Josh Naylor? What about Bobby Bradley? They got a lot of intriguing guys, but nobody that stands out that you say, man, pencil him in next year. You know, I mean, Ahmed Rosario has won himself a spot, probably in left field if I'm in charge next season. I'm not putting him at shortstop. I mean, that pop-up he dropped the other night, like, my God.
Ah, come on. Okay. That was
I know
that
was it wasn't
terrible.
The easiest.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible. You're right. But I was literally, when you were talking, the next thing out of my mouth was there's only been one guy who's exceeded expectations this year as a position player, and that's Ahmed. Everybody else has been a disappointment for the most part, who we wanted to see take a next step. Owen Miller's been a disappointment. Andre Jimenez has been a huge disappointment. We see nothing from Daniel Johnson for the most part. Bobby Bradley's been fine, but he's been hurt. And since the All-Star break, he hasn't been that great. He did have the two-hit game on Saturday, which was good. But again, it's not like Bobby Bradley's played so well that you know next year Bobby Bradley's going to be your first baseman. You don't. So there's a lot, like you said, we have a lot of guys who are
Can I cut you off? Andres Jimenez is 22. Like, I know that maybe I'm a Andres Homer or Andreas Jimenez, as he's called by the TV play-by-play guy. But, like, he's 22. Like, I'm not giving up on him yet. That's a guy I think
give up on him. I didn't say to give up on him, but has he, at the major league level this year, has he shown you any sort of signs that he is going to be an immediate starter next year that you're going to pencil in, like we talk about Ahmed?
No, not at the plate.
That's my point. That's my point.
I think he can make plays in the infield defensively.
Oh, yeah, he's a wizard with the glove. But I listen, you read certain things from certain writers, and you know that that's a leaked thing that's coming from the top, right? And Terry Pluto had a piece talking about how they've been majorly disappointed. You know, it was one of his scribbles, and it was that they were majorly disappointed in what Andres Jimenez had this year. And Rick Manning in the broadcast last week, or it was either last week or the week prior during a game, said something to the effect of, he just hasn't been able to get it going. And, you know, so there's, again, you can kind of read the tea leaves, and you know there's stuff that's planted out there for reasons, and there's also stuff that's planted out there for reasons to pump certain guys up so you know they can potentially have trade value. So I don't know. I'm not giving up on him. He's 22, to your point, but he's still got options left. If next year they decide, okay, in spring training we're going to give Jimenez and Gabriel Arias battle it out, see who plays shortstop. One guy's going to go down to AAA and play every day. And
I wouldn't have an issue with that, but I'm telling you, if that, I know who would win that one. I mean, I just, Arias is just spraying the ball everywhere. He's special.
And he's the best defensive shortstop in the organization. Yeah. So, and you also got to remember that Tyler Freeman is probably going to play shortstop also. I mean, someone is also probably going to get dealt.
Yes.
Because of these 40-man spots that we've talked about so much, the move for the Indians is probably not signing a free agent outfielder. It's packaging together some of these middle infield guys who are ready for a everyday starting outfielder. That's probably what's going to happen. I hope it's not Arias. I don't think it will be because I think they're very high on him.
He's the best prospect we have. To me, I know Nolan Jones is ranked higher, but to me, our top prospect is Gabriel Arias. I mean, it is. And I know Nolan Jones got hurt last night. Has there been any word on this? What happened in Memphis yesterday?
I haven't seen anything yet, but it didn't look good. He kind of went down and immediately grabbed his ankle or his knee?
It looked like his leg, yeah. Sliding into second base.
Yeah. Depending on how bad it is, you may not get a chance to see the cup of coffee that is going to happen in September. Let me ask you a question, because I don't know the answer, and maybe you do. They changed the rules on expanding the rosters. It used to be, you remember, it used to be four. You could bring up as much as 40 guys on the major league roster. it's you can't do that anymore, right? When they
I don't think so. And I also think the AAA season this year is linked to the MLB season, so it doesn't cut short like it usually does. Usually the AAA season, if you're out of it, you are out of it like September 15th when the playoffs start. I believe the AAA season's going all the way through September. I'm pretty sure.
Because they started late.
Correct.
I'm Googling MLB roster expansion, and it says beginning in 2021 season, the active rosters of 26 players, the expanded roster size is 40. Oh, no, that's the 40 man. Sorry. All right, keep talking, and I'm going to look this up. Roster. Oh, here, I got it. Roster size will increase to 28 in September.
Okay. Well, that'll be, I mean,
that's just two more guys.
That Major League Baseball is going to have to deal with collective bargaining next year. And
well, then that's another great point, which is talking about free agency and what we're going to do with all this stuff. The system could be completely changed by this time next, you know, by the beginning of the season next year. So who knows?
How's Coco doing? I can hear her back there.
Shush.
Oh, be nice.
Trying to get her to quiet down. She shouldn't be barking during the podcast. How dare she? You know what she does? She sits by that front window and just stares out the window all day long and barks at anything that goes by. She's good. Her stomach is back. Her stomach is back to normal.
Are you ready for this one? I've got like
You're getting a dog?
Hell no. No way. I have like a fly issue in my house.
What?
Yeah, they're in my house. Like we just keep killing flies every 5 minutes. Like, how'd they get in here? Like, I got a guy coming later today. This is ridiculous. You know I hate bugs. And they all have like little green backs on them. So if anybody's
listening, that's not good.
I don't know what where they're coming from. We're trying to figure it out. I had to go to Home Depot yesterday and get my wife got the one of those fly
swatters. You out no, there like swatting flies? Thing. Like,
hold on. Where is this thing? It's up on my window down here.
Live action? Can we get this on video?
No, I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed at so many things right now. Yeah, flies. That's just what I needed.
You know what? I know you're annoyed with a lot of stuff, but you want to know something?
Yeah.
I'm mostly annoyed when my teeth have a lot of plaque on them. So you know what exactly. I do when that happens? I go right to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, and the two greatest dentists in America, Dr. Ben Hornstein, the king of dentistry, and his new partner, Dr. Sean Schlissel. If you guys live on the east side, or even if you live on the west side and you are looking for a dentist that is going to chill you out, make you laugh, and just make you completely comfortable in a total fun and relaxed atmosphere, then you got to go to cfad.net or give them a call at 216-595-1710 and get yourself an appointment. Sandy will clean your teeth like nobody else. I'm telling you, I walk out of there after Sandy's has cleaned me up. I feel like a new man, like, and I take care of my teeth. But Sandy really hooks it up. And Dr. Ben comes in. He's like the Mariano Rivera of dentists. He comes in to close.
No. You know,
takes a look, checks for...
He's the Emmanuel Class A, baby.
Sorry, you know what? I shouldn't have said Mariano Manny. Rivera because I don't like him. Manny! So he's the Emmanuel Class A of dentistry. And he comes in, checks you for gum cancer. You know, you ever seen that move? You know what he does? He puts like the little piece of gauze under your tongue. And then he turns it. He's like, just checking for mouth cancer. So they're just the best. So if you need a dentist on the east side, and even if you live on the west side, take 271, get off of Chagrin Boulevard. It's right there in Orange Place, Center for Advanced Dentistry, cfad.net, or give them a call at 216-595-1710 and tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you. Do me a favor, get your teeth cleaned, get your smile reconstructed by the best in the business, the Center for Advanced Dentistry.
All right, listen, big news at breakingtea.com/dairy. All right, you want your tribe gear? That's why you're listening to this podcast. We're all for it, all right? And they've got the Guard the Land shirt, so you can get some Guardian stuff with the new fonts and whatever, you know, lettering. But listen up, we all know in a couple of weeks, a week from Sunday, your Cleveland Browns will be going to Kansas City, home of the technique, as Todd said, to take on the Chiefs. You want Browns gear and you want something cool with your favorite player, Go to BreakingTea.com/dairy. There are new brown shirts galore at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Sackmaster Miles, the Miles Garrett t-shirt, orange t-shirt. Juice t-shirt in brown for Jarvis Landry. OBJ t-shirt in, it looks black or brown.
Chubb Strong.
I mean, fantastic new stuff. If you're a huge Miles Garrett fan, that's your favorite player, don't get the jersey that everybody, the jersey that everybody has. Get yourself this Sackmaster shirt in orange. It's sweet. Go right now and check these new shirts out at BreakingTea.com/dairy. You put the slash dairy and it takes you right to the Cleveland collection. That's D-E-R-Y. Tribe gear, you guys know, I had the Bobby Bomb shirt on a couple of days ago. The Franimal shirt is still sweet. So whatever you need, it's there. Maybe eventually they will make a new Lori Markkanen shirt. I don't know. BreakingTea.com.
Marksman Markkanen.
What's that?
Marksman Markkanen.
I've never seen a team have set 3 7-footers on at the same time in 2021. It's like, hey, let me grow a mustache and listen to Boz Scaggs, because that's what's cool today. Anyway, that's the first thing that came to mind. who plays 3 7-footers?
That was like a great, you know what? That was a very Underwood reset by me. Hey, that's Underwood would have used Boz Scaggs.
Johnny, you know what shirt's
really cool? That's right. Johnny, you know what shirt's really cool actually is this QB Nightmare shirt they have here with Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett.
Oh yeah, that's there sweet. Too.
I like
that's
that.
That's been out for a little while, but yes, that is cool.
I dig it. And speaking of which, you know who is a Breaking Tea customer and going to Kansas City for the game? The great Andrew Rafael.
Oh, Randy?
Who I went to the game with on Saturday, the Tribe game, and we sat here. Thank you, Breaking Tea, for your t-shirts. Andrew Rafael, big Breaking Tea fan as well. So we went to the game on Saturday, and I had traded in for some club seats a while ago because I didn't have my seats that day, and I needed to get them because he was coming in. So it was in the sun, as you know, on the first base side.
So it's sweltering.
We lasted an inning, an inning and a half, and I literally got – to go up to get more like water in the club. I got lightheaded coming up. It was so friggin' hot. I couldn't deal. And then of course, you know, I went down to our section and Annie hooked me up in the shade, which was fantastic because Annie's the greatest of all time. But
did you and Andrew talk required minimum distribution?
RMBs.
That's right.
We actually did talk some RMBs. We talked a little Bitcoin. We talked about all of it. Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go.
I was trying to get some lowdown. I don't understand any of it. Listen, you guys are the finance guys. I don't know a thing. I just, you know, I just bullshit for a living.
Oh, I love it.
That's all. All right. Let's get back on track here. I'm sorry.
Else are we hitting? Oh, okay. Two more topics. Then we got to get out of here. Number one. We're going to go through the pitching matchups and the rest of the week. But before that, aren't you just loving the fact that the redacted ex-shortstop, the former Indian himself, is a part of this just absolute clown show that is the New York Mets and their little game they're playing with fans with their thumbs down? Javi Baez, and I'm going to say his name on the show here, Francisco Lindor. Those two guys, ooh, biggest clowns. And like, you know, I know we're revisiting an old, you know, we're dusting off an old bit here, but I'm happy he's gone because he's a part of a laughingstock organization with the Mets and what they pulled over the weekend and telling their fans, don't boo us. Watch this. Every time we get a base hit, we're going to do the thumbs down as kind of a bit, and the ownership and the GM, Sandy Alderson, or the president have nixed it already. It's just hilarious to me. It's hilarious.
Awful. First of all, Javi Baez is a douche. 2016 Cub. I hate everything involved in the 2016 Cubs. It's bad enough. Oh, and him and Frankie are best friends. So, you know, Frankie told Steve Cohen to trade for him. Yeah. And they're just dicking around. And by the way, they're not going to make the playoffs. And Baez is going to hit free agency. And I read, I think it was Buster Olney and John Heyman both said, this is going to hurt him in free agency because there's going to be a lot of teams and owners that are very turned off by this behavior. The quote was, when we don't get success, we're going to get booed, Baez said. So they, the fans, are going to get booed when we get success. What the fuck is that? And him and Frankie with the thumbs down. Guess what?
And I think VR did it as well. It's funny because Pete Alonso.
It was Kevin Pillar.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Kevin Pillar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Jonathan VR, but there was Pete Alonso got a RBI hit yesterday too, and they you know when he got to first base he didn't do it. It was just these other goofballs.
Classy individual.
It's just these other goofballs, and it's like I've said it forever. I mean the New York Mets. Look, the Indians don't have a lot of success recent, okay? And we have the longest drought and all that stuff, but take out the 1986 team. There ain't a lot in Flushing, Queens, or whatever it is down there with the Mets. They're a joke. They're a joke. They're owners on Twitter, too. Like, what's he doing? What a clown show. No, that's a perfect spot for the redacted ex-shortstop. Perfect spot.
And as I tweeted yesterday, I guess $360 million can't buy you a thick skin.
No, it's a bad look. And if I'm any of these teams looking for a free agent shortstop, the unnamed team being one of them, I wouldn't go anywhere near Javi Baez.
I mean, think about it. Between this, at the beginning of the year when he joined the Mets, I don't want to be called Frankie anymore. I mean, my name is Francisco. All of this diva behavior has completely come out of nowhere. You know, the whole Mr. Smile thing, and it was great. And when he was here, he was a great ambassador, and he was wonderful.
You can't take that away. And I'm not. I'm not poo-pooing what he did here. But at the end, the last 2 years, he openly admitted he didn't work hard. He openly admitted it. And then now you're right. He's Hollywood, and he's New York, and he's got 17 different hair colors and shoes and everything he's pushing, but he didn't make the All-Star team, didn't play in the All-Star game, and now he's not going to play in the playoffs. And you're right, that's a lot of money to be flushing down the toilet if you're Steve Cohen.
And not to mention, this is year one of how many years on that contract? 11?
Yeah.
Got a long way to go. And as we've talked about many times, I wouldn't give anybody 10 years, especially him, when you and I have been talking about the decline in his game for the last two. So, as you said,
but the national people never saw it because they're just enamored.
No, of course.
You know, it's Yankees, Mets, Red Sox. It's whatever those teams do is great. And, Francisco's so good. But when you watch every game like we did the last 2 years and we saw the RISP numbers and everything else, I wasn't that bothered by that trade. I was more of a fan of Jimenez and Rosario, as you know. But Josh Wolf's pitching well in the minors. Like that trade could turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah, listen, it was the right move. Whether or not the return ends up being, good enough is a completely, different topic for a different day. But it was absolutely the right thing to do, and we've moved on and. This will be the last time we discuss the redacted X shortstop on this pod, unless we are having a, 2016 World Series or 2016 playoff run conversation. That's it. So the moratorium is back on.
Thank you. All right, let's do the pitching matchups and wrap this up. We got three in Kansas City Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, Friday night in Boston, Saturday 4:00. In Boston and then the afternoon game on Sunday. You said you weren't that enamored with the Red Sox, huh?
I respect the fact that they battled back, but that pitching staff is garbage. They're not doing anything in October with that pitching.
I mean, Houck looked decent. Ivaldi's good. Pavetta's decent. We didn't see him this week.
You line up their five against our five when everybody's healthy. I'll take our five over there day of the week.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? And even the White Sox, if you just look at their pitching staff compared to the other one, I just, the Yankees pitching isn't that great either, but
our weak lineup also made the Red Sox bullpen this weekend look a lot better than it is. I mean,
yeah, that's right. They were bringing in guys other than the lefty Blake Taylor. The rest of those guys are garbage. I mean,
Whitlock's decent. No relation to the poser national radio host or whatever he thinks he is.
That's a Rule 5 guy too.
He's had a good year. Look at his numbers. Garrett Whitlock's had a really good year.
He's been good. By the way, I just got an injury update on Nolan Jones, courtesy of Indians Perspective. So it says Nolan Jones sustained the injury sliding into second, being classified as a left ankle sprain. No timeline on how long he will be out.
The Indians are always so good at telling us about injuries. So, God love the organization, but you know,
yeah,
and some of these beat writers, man, they got to step up. Some of these post game questions where it's like DeMarlo Hale, the first question Saturday should have been, did you have the take sign on for a minute? All, you know, this, what'd you think of Quantrill routine? I know Andre's doing his job. I'm not mad at Andre, but sometimes some of these beat guys that are having to write a game story every day have got to step it up. That's inside info or inside baseball there. Sorry to do that, but come on, guys. Hey, all right.
I agree.
And girls.
We're talking to you, Zach. Get your shit together. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not even talking about Zach. Zach doesn't write
games. I'm kidding. I know. I'm kidding.
But I mean, you know.
I just know that he's the only one of them that listens. So,
maybe not. Maybe Ryan Lewis is a P1. I don't know that person, but, you know.
He could be. What about Mandy? We've had Mandy on the show. Mandy's got to be a listener, right? Come on, Mandy. Mandy, if you're listening, send us a tweet that you're listening, okay? And we want to have you back on.
All right. So
I'm dead serious here.
I'm with you.
All right. Yeah.
Anybody, okay, they're all welcome anytime.
Absolutely.
Except maybe not Dennis Manilow.
No, I'll tell you who's not invited. Ossenheimer is not invited on this show. He can come on and I'll tell him what it's like. Let's put it this way. He's the 99 of Indians beat writers.
I'm only kidding about Dennis from a personal standpoint. I do like the D-man, but he thinks Ahmed Rosario is a shortstop, and he's wrong. All right, Zach Plesac on Tuesday night against Mike Minor. I think the Indians have faced Mike Minor like 30 times this year. It's always the same.
Oh, he's also a member. He's great, and he's also a member of 10% capacity, baby.
He shuts two start down for week. Like five innings, and then we get him a hit. We hit him in the sixth. It's the same routine. By the way, Team D's is in big trouble. Sam Henches on Wednesday against Brad Keller. Thursday, Logan Allen, who we didn't really basically talk much about, but he had like this surprise spot start on Friday and shut the Red Sox down. I'm doing a high school football game the other night broadcasting. I'm looking at my phone. Todd's texting like, hey, is Logan Allen still in the game? I forgot we were playing. Like, I DVR all the games, but I was like, wait a minute. Logan Allen's through six and has allowed one run? Like, this is hilarious.
When he was in
– he was in a groove.
He came the what inning was it? I think it was the fifth or the sixth. He ended up putting a couple guys on. And it was a big spot, and he struck out had Bogarts. He struck out Bogarts to end the inning, and he was like, "Yeah!"
He did the Cal Quantrill two-armed fist pump.
It was beautiful. I got to give Logan Allen credit, man. You want to talk about mentally tough? What he's been through this year, I'm not going to get too excited. It's one start. He's been shitty most of the year, but. You know what? He deserved this moment. He worked his ass off. He got himself back up here after totally struggling and faced the Red Sox, one of the best teams in the American League, six innings of one hit, one run ball.
Hope that there's more of this the rest of the year. And next year he's a bullpen arm. I mean, he's not a starter, or maybe he's the sixth starter. I don't know. I know they envision him being a starter, but when you've got Bieber, Savali, Plesac, McKenzie and Quantrill were set. Maybe Morgan's the sixth guy. Maybe Cody Morris is the sixth guy, whatever. So maybe Logan Allen pitches himself onto the team next year as somebody that can be, not Cody Allen. What did I say?
Logan Allen, I'm saying,
could be a guy out of the bullpen. You never know.
Well, here's another question for you. And I can't remember, maybe you know, Was Logan Allen one of the guys that Zach said was out of options next year that we were like, how is that possible?
Yeah, Logan Allen, JC Mejia, and Sam Hentges.
All three of them. Okay.
Which is interesting. Right. To me, Hentges is definitely in the bullpen next year. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Allen against Chris Bubich on Thursday, and then Friday, Quantrill and Eovaldi again. I'm a Nate Eovaldi fan. He's a really good pitcher, in my opinion. Eli Morgan Saturday against Tanner Houck. And then Houck pitched well yesterday up until the Jose homer. And then
that's another thing. We had no hits in the sixth inning yesterday.
Again.
And then scored, but ended up with 7 runs. It's crazy.
Our cousin crazy. Steve called me yesterday. Speaking of old bits, him calling. And I love that man so much. But he calls like in the middle of the day. So he called yesterday.
Because none of us are working. Him, right.
And he's like, what's the Tribe score? And I said, I'm shutting this off. We don't have any hits. We're down 4-0. And I turn it back on 10 minutes later. And then Plesac and Nick Pivetta on Sunday. I think that's a TBS game for those of you.
Yes, it is.
On Sunday. But all right, we've gone like an hour, I think, here. So
did we really?
I think.
Wow.
I'm having major recording issues and all this stuff. So bear with us, everybody. If this doesn't sound the way it usually does, I'm working on it. We're having some technical difficulties behind the scenes here. So I'll get Redbird and Tommy Bowe on the case.
Tommy Bowe.
All right, Dairy Brothers Drivecast for another week.
I just Todd, snorted.
What's that? What'd you
just
say?
Snorted. I just snorted because I was laughing good. So hard. Ay, ay, ay.
All right, we'll be back next week. Is next week Labor Day? We'll have to figure that out.
We'll figure it out. By the way, we had no review of the Patty surprise party, 75th birthday.
Fantastic job by you and your wife, Leah, on Wednesday and putting all that together. I showed up in my Jim Tomey jersey as a surprise, and we had a great time. So she seemed thrilled. So
it was a stone groove, my man, and your surprise made the party what it was. So kudos to you, my friend.
All right, well, that's it for another edition brought to you by our friends at waitingfornextyear.com, where they house the pod, and we appreciate them. We are out of room, out of here.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.